Welcome to episode number 351 of the Family Podcast Network. Today we're going to talk a little bit about vaccines. That's right. We hear both sides of the fence that vaccines are the most wonderful thing since sliced bread. We need to get all of our kids vaccinated so that way we can protect everybody else that's out there. And then we also hear on the flip side, vaccines are the devil and they shouldn't be used and they cause everything from cancer to Asperger's disease. What's the truth? We're going to talk a little bit about what is the truth when it comes to all of these things. Stay tuned for that and more.
Welcome to the Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids, and even those that aren't. Coming to you from Tuscola, Texas, home and headquarters of the Family Podcast Network, here's your host, Trey Gibson.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids, and even those that aren't. It doesn't matter if you're expecting, if you're a brand new mom and dad, or even if you're a longtime seasoned parent. There is always something we can do to take our parenting to that next level. The date today is January the 14th, 2015. It is middle of the week Wednesday. That's right. For those of you guys that are listening today, we made it. We made it to the middle of the week. Let me tell you, this week at our office for my day job, things have been busy. Of course, it's the start of the school year for us. It was the first day of school. So things have gotten busy, but I love it. It feels like it is Monday to me because things have just flown so fast. But you know what? If I'm going to have it anyway, I'd rather it be busy and fast just like this. Topic for today is going to, again, be vaccines. We're going to take a look at the perspectives that are out there, the dichotomous, both ends of the spectrum style talks that we have. You've got your traditional vaccinators that just say that it's amazing and it should be trusted and it keeps everybody else from getting sick. I don't disagree. And then you've also got yours to say that they're evil and that there are some that are out there that are not necessarily good for us and that we shouldn't get vaccinated. Well, in some cases, I agree. We'll talk a little bit about that here in just a second. Before we do, let's get into some quick housekeeping. If you guys want to stay notified of all the new episodes that come out here at the Family Podcast Network, just jump over to thefamilypodcast.com. Over on the right-hand side, put your name and your email address in my subscription box. Whenever you do that, that just makes sure that you'll never miss out on any episodes that come out here at the Family Podcast Network and let you know, hey, what is it that we talked about? When is the show out? And when can I go listen to it? So consider doing that. Thefamilypodcast.com, right-hand side, name and email address. Make sure you never miss out on that one show. If you just could have heard it this week, it would have changed everything. Also, don't forget, you can also support the show, 30 cents per episode. There's a few of you guys out there that have really stepped up and said, you know what, I want to be a part of supporting what Trey does, and I feel like this stuff that he offers out is wonderful stuff. So what you need to do is go run over to thefamilypodcast.com, click on the PTACR part of it, and then go to the PTACR page and become a member. You can do that for as simple as $5 a month. That's right, $5 a month. If you feel like one of the coffees that you can get at Starbucks, if you can give up one of those, jump over there and do that for me. And whenever you do that, it will get you access to content that is only available to you guys as members. So consider doing that. Next up, if you guys have any questions, comments, thoughts, concerns, a topic that you're like, I want to hear what your thoughts about this, an idea that you want us to bounce around a little bit and say, well, what is the right thing to think about on this? Hey, shoot that over to us. Make up a fake name. I don't care. You can email me, Trey Gibson at the Family Podcast Network. Yes, several people asked me to not put names. You can do that as well. You can also call us 661-PARENT-AND-ZERO. That's right. You can pick up your cell phone, give us a call, 661-PARENT-AND-THE-NUMBER-ZERO, or you can go to the contact us page. We'll jump you over to what's called the Japkin page. Then you can leave a voicemail. You can leave a voicemail right over your phone, your tablet, or your computer as long as you have a microphone connected to it. Ask us your questions. Let us know what you want to talk about or email us the article at treygibson@thefamilypodcastnetwork.com. All right, guys, with all of the housekeeping out of the way today, I want to get into our topic for today, which is vaccination. Now, we talked a little bit about the dichotomous side of vaccinations. And I want you guys to know this is something that I've researched long and hard. I've spent a lot of time trying to filter through the crap that's out there. The reality is that there is a lot of crap perspective out there. I'm not – this is one of those that I have to be very careful with because here's a problem. out of the two sides that we talked about, this dichotomous, both ends of the spectrum, they suck and they're horrible and they're going to kill your kids versus they're great and they're wonderful and they should be trusted in all cases. Both of them have elements, vestiges of truth. Each one of them, I mean, it really, it's like any effective lie needs to have a grain of salt of truth to it. That's just the way it is. Because if there's zero truth, it's a lot easier, or excuse me, a lot harder to conceal the lie. So when it comes to this, there's, on both sides of the spectrum, there's an element of the facts that are true. So before we get into all of this, what I want to sit down with you guys and talk about is I want to make sure that we all understand exactly what a vaccine is before we start jumping into whether they work, what should we do with them, are they the devil or are they perfect, etc. So first off, we need to discuss what exactly a vaccine is. So a vaccine is basically any kind of agent that is formed to mimic some kind of disease-causing microorganism, right? So typically they make it out of some kind of weakened form of the microbe that creates the actual virus or disease itself. And then what they do is they weaken it, they kill it, and then they allow it to be entered into the body. Well, it's such a weakened state, it can't actually make the body sick. However, it allows the body to create antigens, which are the antigenic determinants that allow it to say, oh, hey, we know what this looks like. Now we can create something that whenever it gets introduced into the body, it'll kill it. And so it's already got a pre-built up strength that allows it to knock out or kill off the microorganism whenever it comes. So then if you, for instance, get yourself vaccinated against polio, then it already understands what that virus looks like. And whenever it is introduced into our bodies already say, hey, I've already fought this off before. I know exactly what to do. I can kill this very easily. So the concept behind it is, yes, we are actually injecting ourselves with a form of the disease or virus that creates this stuff. Now, some people get really freaked out about that and say, whoa, is this okay? Absolutely. I want to start off here. Now, I'm going to give you guys the information that I have today, and I'm going to let you form your own opinion. That doesn't mean that I'm going to hide my opinion from you guys. I'm just going to inform y'all where we are and how we got there. We understand that not everybody's going to be here or that we're going to all be there in different levels, that there's almost a continuum of belief system on this. So you guys are going to hear what we believe in this as well. But we'll get to that here in just a little bit. There is no doubt. I have read tons of articles, some of them from the CDC, some of them from Independent, some of them from the NIH, National Institute for Health. And so there's tons of stuff that's out there about, you can read about the efficacy of these types of viruses. Believe it or not, I really actually do enjoy reading the CDC's information. Now, you guys may be like, what do you mean, right? If you guys are anti-vaxxers, as they call them, or anti-vaccination people, you might be like, well, why would you trust them? Most of the articles that I have read have been pretty open and upfront about it. So take the flu vaccine that's come out recently, and a lot of folks are saying that it doesn't actually work. And they're pretty upfront about it. And the article that I read actually came from the CDC's research on it. And what they found was that, yes, the flu vaccine really works. And what they found was that the first one that they administered had a very high success rate in stopping someone from getting the flu. However, they found that after that, the second round would often be less effective. And then once you get the third round of vaccination from the flu, that it had almost less than 10%, and almost less than 10% possibility. So in other words, you had about a 1 in 10 chances, or you had about 9 chances out of 10 that you were going to go ahead and get the flu anyway. So with that said, they write pretty open stuff. They also admit that, like with the recent flu here in 2015 or the end of 2014 and 2015, they created a vaccine for the wrong strain of it and distributed it, and so it wasn't very effective. And they were pretty honest about that. I'm not saying, don't send me emails about how the CDC lied about this and lied about that. I don't doubt that they've also been fudging numbers on some things. However, they've also been very open about some things as well. And I think it's good. I think it's good. We want to make sure we encourage people whenever they're getting it right and when they're being honest with us and telling us the accurate information. We don't want to encourage them in a way that will get them lying to us more. But they really do release some good stuff. But I also always recommend that you find things from independent and private studies as well that test these kinds of things on the same wall. But there is no doubt that, I mean, there's absolute adequate research to show us that that giving vaccination can prevent some childhood illnesses. If you take a look at things like mumps, measles, rubella, varicella, which is chickenpox. If you take a look at hepatitis B, if you take a look at the research on that, kids that would normally get these kinds of illnesses on a much more regular basis, we're talking drastically reduced. And so there's no denying the fact that vaccines can work. And everybody gets so gritty about that, but they absolutely can work. But you see, what happens is this is where you get those two subset of people. You get those first set of group of people that say, well, I want 100% effective, 100% safe, and 100% guaranteed to keep me from getting sick, right? So they want all of those three little pretty things all in one place wrapped up with no possibility of any one of those things. Well, you know what? That ain't how it works. There is no guarantee that it will be 100% effective. Sometimes people get vaccinated and they get sick. If you walk into this expecting, you know, Dr. Doolittle's panacea magic elixir that's going to make sure that you never get sick again, or there's no possibility that you could get something, this is not the right thing for you. Vaccinations involve risks just like anything else, whether you're vaccinating yourself or whether you're vaccinating your kid or whether you're putting your kid through a surgery. There is no guarantee that your kid's going to go under the knife in a surgery and wake up. Maybe the stance or the probability is so very low, it's not, you know, it's still worth it to you. But the reality is there's no guarantees on that. We cannot be guaranteed that it's 100% effective. Number two, we cannot guarantee that things are going to be 100% safe. We do the things that we can to be safe. We do the things that we can to try to protect our kids. But the reality is we cannot guarantee that there won't be an adverse reaction to a vaccine. We're going to talk here in a little bit about educating ourselves to vaccines. But the reality is we cannot control everything. And then people want to be 100% guaranteed that they're not going to get sick. You know, there's just no way to guarantee these things. But people want them. They even almost kind of demand that they should be able to have, you know, this lifetime out of immunity, right? And it could be completely safe. It just doesn't happen. So we really have to stop and look at how well do vaccines, you know, accomplish these things that we want in the long term, and then how much does the cost to us as the recipient or our kids as the recipient, what's the cost to them, and do they outweigh each other? That's how you have to look at vaccines. You have to look at it in terms of how well does it work in the long term? Is the cost of it worth it to me? Is the potential possibility for these things happening worth it to me? I personally include one other thing. We really do, in some ways, have to consider how us not vaccinating ourselves affects other people. I was just reading an article today. I don't think it was in the United States. I think it was in the United Kingdom. But it was like Disneyland in the United Kingdom somewhere. What they wound up having like 12 kids that got sick with, I think, measles. And some of them were kiddos that were under the age of, under the age where they could get the MMR, the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine. And several of them got sick. And so they theorized that what happened was that there were several kids who were not vaccinated against it, who were there, probably under the premise that their parents don't like to get vaccinations. There were some other kids that were there who were too young to get those vaccines. I don't know why my voice just cracked, guys. There were some other kids there that were too young to get vaccinated. And so because the parents had made this choice to not vaccinate their kids, it put the kids who could not get the vaccination, and I don't want to say a jeopardy, but it put them in a tight spot. You know, infants getting things like, you know, measles is a big deal. That's a big deal. Now, I'm not saying that you should go against every belief system that you have about vaccinations. So if you're an anti-vaxxer, I'm not saying that you should just sacrifice that all on the altar of I don't want anybody else to get it. But I think that if you are being a responsible person, those thoughts need to be entering your mind. Now, it's not that, oh, I'm not, I guess I need to get my kids vaccinated. But you need to be thinking about if you're taking your kid to lots of public places and there's the possibility that they're going to catch some of these viruses or diseases and they're not, they're not vaccinated against it and they go around other kids that can't be, what kind of effect is that going to have on them? Again, I'm not saying that you be drastic about that, but you need to be responsible. Anti-vaxxers, I don't think you're crazy. I get people that don't want to go get vaccinated. There is enough research out there. And go do it yourself. We're not going to introduce the research today. I want to teach you guys how to think about this. And then I want you to take all this information and go think. Figure out what you believe about this. There's enough information out there about vaccines to make me squirm in my chair just a little bit. But I see the information that's in this whole belief system about vaccinations on both sides of this argument get manipulated in a way that I think is inappropriate. There's other things that you have to consider into regards of efficacy. If you hear me say the word efficacy today, efficacy just means the ability for something to do what it says it can do. If Trey says that he is able to help you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't to help you reduce the stress in your life, and then you practice what I tell you to do and it works, you would say Trey has a high level of efficacy. But if you buy, Dr. Bob's Wonder Tonic to help you grow hair on top of your head because you're balding and you put it on your head and you don't get any growth out of it, low efficacy, right? It has a low ability to do what it says that it does. And so a lot of people just take a big poo on, the efficacy of all of this, or even people that believe in vaccines and they don't get the results they want. They forget that there's several other things that affect the ability for a drug to do what it said it's going to do. So, some of the things people leave out is like sanitation. The ability to keep the areas around you clean from excessive germs, and a big piece of what causes things to spread is unsanitary conditions. Food being left out is a great culture for bacteria to grow on. Some of the cultures that of vaccines, as a matter of fact, are actually grown on things like chicken eggs. They grow them on chicken eggs. And that's why some of them actually can create some vaccines can create problems for kids with allergies because they're grown on food that they have an allergy to. And so we have to take in sanitation. It's a very, very big thing. The disinfecting of surfaces, especially like after you cook raw meat, right? We have issues of salmonella and E. coli and those kinds of bacteria that are very, very nasty. And so, we have to keep things sanitary. And often, if we don't have those things, it's very difficult to create that. Second off is nutrition. Healthy bodies is a major piece to that, and having the ability to have the appropriate amount of minerals and vitamins built up in your blood system, the appropriate amount of water, the appropriate amount of salt to control the water that can be moved to the cells in the body, all of those things in nutrition are vital, because if your body isn't metabolizing the way that it needs to be, it can't process bacteria and viruses the way that it needs to. Individual, emotional, mental, and physical states. The reality is that the psyche is powerful and it's important. And in a lot of ways, it's kind of like the Matrix, right? In the Matrix, if you get shot, right, your brain doesn't know how to differentiate and you're the body, their actual physical body out of the Matrix would die as well. And though I don't mean that literally in that capacity, emotional capacity and the way you think affect your physical. So just think about it in a big circle. It's a big vicious cycle, but think about it in a circle. So at the top, maybe you have the way you feel, right? So in your physical state in that moment, which is maybe you feel depressed or sad or whatever. And so then, you follow that circle around. You first off hit the emotional component to it, right? And maybe you feel sad. You feel depressed, like I said earlier. Well, then you follow that circle around to the next part where it's the mental piece of it. And maybe you say, like, man, my life sucks. Man, this is just horrible things that are happening to me. Man, this I just can't believe this is going to happen now. I know something else is bad is going to happen, right? And then whenever you talk like that, when you have that mental talk like that, how do you think that makes you feel again, completing that circle, right? So you see how those circle around and around in themselves. And so efficacy, they've tied this mental, emotional, and physical state to our ability to continue to stay vaccinated, continue to stay immune from these different things. So vaccines are good, but these are some of the other things we have to consider. Also, societal stressor. What's going on around us in our society? What's going around on us with our family? Do we have divorces, right? And do we have job loss and those kinds of things? Societal stressors, the stress that puts on our – the distress that society puts on our life can be another thing. Natural progression of the disease and then natural immunity. These are some of the other things that we have to look at when it comes to understanding why vaccines work and or do not work. But I think it all comes down to this one simple concept that I want to talk to you guys today about. Fundamentally, who is responsible when it comes or in regards to having things like these vaccines? Well, the doctors. The doctors are, right? I'm going to go as far to say the answer is no. Fundamentally, we are the ones that are responsible for all of this. See, I'm not going to try to convince you today of what I believe. I'm not going to try to make you think the way I think. What I want you to do is I want you to start thinking. The reality is that when we make decisions about medically based stuff, it's a big decision, and it can intimidate the crap out of us, and it makes us so scared, and we get so nervous about it that we defer ourselves to other people that don't know our kids, that don't know how we believe. We are responsible for our kids' healthiness, whether we like that or not. And I just want you guys to be thinking about that. It is not your doctor's responsibility. It is not your health department's responsibility to understand what you're doing and why you're doing it and what they do to it. What are the side effects? What are the potential possibilities? Is there a connection between certain things and autism? It is your responsibility as an individual and as a parent to know the answer to these questions. Beyond the shadow of a doubt, that doesn't mean that you just pick a side that you believe with and you read their articles to beef yourself up. You've really got to take a look at this. Because this isn't something that is as flippant as, you know, do we believe in this or that? This is something that could potentially hurt and kill our kids. And so we have to be able to look at this in a very balanced way and ask ourselves, what is the truth about all of this? If we're not, it can be absolutely detrimental. We have to continuously remind ourselves that vaccines are medication. They're drugs. And they absolutely need to be treated as such. I want you to consider. Remember, not all of these are gonna sway you. And that's fine. This isn't to sway you. I just want you to be thinking about these things when you walk into it. First off, for anybody that's a vaccine hater, things we need to keep in mind. Listen, childhood diseases, measles, mumps, rubella, polio, these are serious things. They're serious things. And we need to avoid them at all costs. And eventually we need to get rid of them because they're going to hurt and kill people. And that's not what we want. So we got to take these things seriously. We can't pretend like they don't exist. We can't pretend like just because there's a super low count of them in the United States, that means that we now have access to be flippant about those. I'm not saying that that's evidence that you need to go get your kids vaccinated, but you cannot be flippant about this. The other thing is, vaccines are a way to stimulate your immune system. I mean, it really is teaching your body how to fight these things in a very, very real way. So it's not just that you're introducing a completely foreign chemical into your bloodstream that all of a sudden, you know, alters the chemistry of your body. What it really does is it teaches your body in a quick, more expedited way how to do what it was designed to do. So we can't get all up in arms and thinking that this is some kind of completely foreign synthetic chemical when in reality it's just teaching our body how to do things a little bit easier. If we look at it, the cost for not vaccinating kids really is pretty stinking high, right? I mean, when we don't do it, I mean, if we follow through and get it done, it potentially can be a huge amount of prevention. It's kind of the ounce of prevention versus a pound of cure, right, is what we're talking about here. I'm going to skip a few of these. I want to go ahead and hit the other side of this before y'all start thinking that I'm trying to slam y'all with pro-vaxxing. Going to the kind of the flip side of it too, that we have to acknowledge that in some vaccines, there are ingredients that are very caustic, that are very toxic. We're talking things like mercury, formaldehyde, you know, other types of metals that are put into that. And they say, well, they're in small, small quantities. Well, as much as we vaccinate kids, it does seem to have a little bit of a cumulative effect. They build up in the body, the more that we put in there. There's uses like eggs, soy, MSG, antibiotics, other kind of stuff that these can be real big risks, especially with our kids. Another thing you need to consider too is some people would argue that there's a moral component to this. Some of the things like WI-38, which is what's used in rubella for the MMR, was initially begun in the lung cells of an aborted baby fetus, a little baby girl. So, you got to decide what your belief systems are on that. Am I saying that this is rule enough for you to not get the MMR? I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is you need to know what you believe. And you need to know if that's a big enough deal to you to cause a problem for you not to get it. Another consideration that is that we need to ask ourselves, there's no one thing that fits for every single kid. And so if we're trying to take this global approach of, yeah, this kid is just like this kid, and so if we gave all of them to this kid's obviously going to be the exact same way. That can be a big problem, right? Because not all kids are created equal when it comes to how their bodies synthesize stuff. And so we got to remember that, we can't do this one-size-fits-all thing because that can be very, very, very dangerous. So I'm going to wrap it up on that in terms of going back and forth. What I'm trying to do when I do this is I want you to be considering some of the ramifications to this. Some of the things that we're talking about here today, you will have no clue unless you've stopped to do a little research on these. So here is the fundamental. I'm going to go ahead and start wrapping it up now. But here's the overarching fundamental perspective. How do we do vaccines here at the Casa de Gibson? Here's the belief system. So let me nutshell it, and then we'll expound before we wrap it up today. Homestead de Gibson, we believe in vaccinations. We believe in the necessity of vaccinations to keep ourselves safe, to keep other people safe. We believe that inherently vaccinations are a good thing. They're a wonderful creation that has been added in a wonderful marvel of medical technology, and I think they're a fantastic thing. They obviously keep people from getting sick. If you take a look at pertussis, whooping cough, and all those different kinds of diseases that were huge for kids that killed people, lots of people, we've knocked that down from a percentage of the United States down to maybe 100 cases a year that we're seeing. Now, statistically, when you have this many people in the United States, and especially when we have such a high level of international travel now, which you guys could see in the induction of Ebola managed to making its way into the United States as easily as it did when we were on such high alert, it's doing something. So here at our house, we acknowledge that they work, that they have some levels of efficacy to it. And because of that, we choose to get our kids vaccinated when we need to. So with that said, however, we skeptically view every single vaccine that we are told they quote-unquote should have with a high level of scrutiny. That means that we take every single one that we're going to get. We want to know what it's for, and we want to know the manufacturer who created it, and we go do our research on every single one of them. Why? Because we want to know the strengths. We want to know the weaknesses. We want to know what to watch for. We want to know the issues. Personally, for me, I'm going to sit down and read the research articles on them. I'm going to see how much it really works and how effective is it really. The bigger problem with this is that there's no longitudinal studies on vaccines. What's a longitudinal study? That's whenever you study something for over the lifetime, longitudinally long, right? It's when we study something over a longitudinal time, and so we watch to see how it affects somebody. So we may give something to them on the onset. They may have like a reaction to the skin. We don't see anything again until 5 years later, 6 years later, when we start having adverse effects. We don't have much research that documents the efficacy and the safety of vaccines over long term. And so you need to be aware of that. You need to walk into that. There are several vaccines that they're quote-unquote linking to autism spectrum disorders. I am not sold on that. I've read the research. I've read the articles. I've seen the folks that just go nut job crazy on it and just say that, oh, there's no doubt. There's no doubt that it gives, they're giving these kids these vaccinations and it's automatically causing them to be, their moms are getting these vaccinations and kids are coming out with autism spectrum disorder. Well, maybe is the answer to that, but not necessarily. So let's talk about how Gibson, the Gibson family, deals with that. We don't have a problem with vaccines. We don't have a problem with any of the vaccines that we've seen, with the exception of flu. We have gotten zero flu vaccines, and none of us have gotten the flu. I've never had a flu vaccine in my lifetime, and I've never had the flu in my lifetime. With that said, we believe in these things. We do the research on all of our vaccines, like we talked about earlier. However, we do not like the schedule that they give, the adopted schedule that they give for childhood disease vaccinations. We feel as though it's too much at one time for little bodies. I do think that there's a connection between how many of our vaccinations that we load our kids up on and autism spectrum disorder. I do see that there is some levels of connection between that. And I think that that is one thing that we need to go easy on. One of the things that we do is we break them up a lot. We break up what they're going to get. We never allow any more than maybe two, sometimes a third vaccination at a time. If they need 5 to 8 of them, sorry, batcha, we'll come back next week. You know, if we need to, we'll come back in a month if we need to, whatever we feel is the right thing to do. But we rarely ever, I mean, if ever, 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 we never allow them to do all of what they need, or at least not over those 2 to 3 at a time, unless they can sell us on them. We've had a couple that have gotten a 3 out of us, mostly just because they say, look, here's this. This one will sometimes infect, you know, affect this one. There's no research that shows that this one will mess with this one. Okay, then we'll add that one on as our third one. So that's the way we do it. And we do that based off of the research that we've looked into, and just an overarching responsibility to be safe. You need to remember that. You may have a doctor or a nurse or a family nurse practitioner that may be buttholes about this. It is not only your right to not do it completely, which again, we're not endorsing here. It is your right to not do it completely, or at the very least, to get to control when and where those things happen. So what we again do is we say, you know what, immunizations are great. We really believe in them. We think that they are the right thing using a natural biology. We think that it's some of the least synthetic way that you could do it. And with that said, we also believe that you need to research every single one that you get. You need to understand what it is, the pros, the cons, what are some of the recalls that they might have had on that. Who knows? Whatever it is, you need to know as much as you can about those things before you walk in and start injecting those into your kiddo's skin. They're not the devil. You just need to stay informed. Well, all right, guys, that's all that we have for this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. Don't forget to come join us this Friday for our next episode of the Real Family Guys Podcast, where Jeff and I are going to sit down and take you guys down a trip on another story that we love to go through, cover another article that is informative and amazing and will blow your mind. That's right. It's where experience and education collide. Come join us this Friday. We want to have you there. Hope you guys have a great day. And if nothing else, we'll see you all on Friday.